In our remaining time, I'd like for you to join me in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And Lord willing, I'm beginning a series entitled, Have You Moved Any Mountains Lately? And I do that seriously. I ask that question because of the context in which our Lord shares with us the kind of faith that moves mountains. And we want to look at this account that's given to us here. We studied this back when I did my series in the book of Matthew, which some of you already forgotten. It only took me 8 years to get through Matthew. But we went through this passage, and I was just reading again recently, and the Lord just gave me some thoughts in this regard that I want to share with you as we look at this theme of, have you moved any mountains lately? We're living in very shallow times, are we not? It just seems like people can't think for themselves anymore. People can't do simple tasks. It overwhelms them. I just heard that the Chicago school system is changing their math curriculum, and they're going to go to working on, in math, the emotional quotient of their student body. Now, remember that in Chicago, none of the students meet the math level understanding they're supposed to have for their grade level. Zero. But now we're concerned about their emotional well-being. And so math, the one area that it seems like that the woke people would not even try to go, because you know mathematics is kind of the universal language. The Germans, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Iranians, the Iraqis, Americans, we all use the same math, right? We use the same math to build airplanes and fly airplanes and build bridges and buildings and so forth, unless you use cheaper substitute materials like they did in Syria, which caused all the buildings to collapse during the recent earthquake. It showed all kinds of failures on the engineering level. But we use the same math. It's a universal language, is it not? It's the same language. Now the woke, they're not happy because nobody's been able to allow them to do anything with it. So now they're going to go and say, we don't need to be teaching math. We need to be concerned about how they feel about, you know, how does math make you feel? Does it disturb you when a white student does better in their grades than you do as a Hispanic? Does it disturb you when a Chinese student does so well in mathematics and you're not able to do that what does that have to do with it? It's not education anymore. It's indoctrination. And so the one last field, the universal language of the world is mathematics. That's one thing we may not understand Mandarin Chinese, but we can understand 2 plus 2 equals 4. Because that's the same math that they use over there. Now my point is this, is that we are living in a time where we can't do much of anything anymore. We're easily overwhelmed. And that's not the way a Christian should live. Amen? God has given us the manifold grace to be able to carry on when things are difficult, and you can't necessarily solve this problem right now, but God will give you the grace to continue on. Remember, Paul asked the Lord to remove a thorn. 3 different times he went to the Lord, please remove this thorn. And how did God answer? Did God say, okay, I'll remove the thorn? No. He said this. Now this is a challenge, folks. My grace is sufficient for you to continue on with the thorn. That's what he said. What, Lord? I've got to continue on with the thorn? You're not going to take it away? No. My grace is enough to allow you to serve me with the thorn, and you'll have everything that you need. That kind of Christianity is not being taught today in our churches, in our universities, Christian universities and colleges. It's this softy, you know, we got to take away all your troubles. You know, you don't need to prepay your loans. We'll just forgive those. Boy, did you hear the lady that's in charge of the teachers' union? She went nuts in front of the Supreme Court, screaming and ranting. How dare they even bring the Supreme Court that somehow President Biden does not have the power to forgive all the student debt. What's wrong with these people? Ah, she just was going on and on and on and on and on. It was just wild talk. Yeah. Oh, you mean I can just get free money? What is that teaching? It's teaching I can continue to get and I don't have to give anything back. What countries survive with that kind of mentality? What kind of corporations survive with that kind of mentality? Can you imagine if Walmart went that way? You know what? We're going to stop charging customers to buy the stuff that we have for sale. We're just going to let them come in and get it, and they can have it for free. How long will that work? Yeah, it wouldn't need to be that long. The stores would be emptied. And Walmart would be broke because they have no income coming in. Now, that's common sense, right? But that's what the world's missing today. And God has some common sense here that He shares with His disciples, because as we're going to see in this account, they're worried and they're confused about the wrong thing in regard to why they couldn't cast a demon out of a child. I want to read the context here, and then I'm going to show you what they're wrong about. Verse 14, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed." In other words, he was possessed of a demon. "For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" Now think about that. That's a God that created all things. In the person of a human body now, without sin, of course. But he says here, he said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? How long am I going to put up with you?" How many of you have ever heard that expression growing up? Yeah. "I'm not going to put up with this." That's an expression that gets you put up with. Now, what does that mean? It means to tolerate and to allow. How long am I going to continue to do this? The Lord says. And he said, "Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. That's what the Lord Jesus can do. Verse 19, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart." That's interesting. They didn't want them to, they heard about what the Father had said. "I brought him to the disciples. They couldn't do anything for me. I'm bringing him to you." And Jesus did something for it. So the disciples say, "Jesus, come over here." And they ask him a question. Notice this, please. "Why could not we cast him out?" Now, as I considered that question there that they asked of the Lord Jesus, I began to think about what troubled them the most. They weren't able to cast the devil out, but what troubled them? It was their lack of success. But their lack of success was not the question. What kept them from being able to do what the Lord had already told them they would be able to do, that He would empower them to do? You see, the problem was not their lack of success. Their problem was lack of faith. That was the problem. But they weren't troubled by that because they thought they already had it. Have you ever thought you had something and you really didn't? That you thought that you really had an A-plus average? And you really had an A-minus average? Boy, there's been times where, "Mom, Dad, I'm almost positive that I've got an A-plus average in this class." Well, that's not what's written on this paper. "Oh, I think the teacher made a mistake." Teachers in here, how many of you have heard from a parent that said, "I think you've made a mistake in the grades that were my child. They're much better at this than, you know, well, here they are all right here, and here's the papers that have the grades on them, and
so forth like that.
Well, there has to be a mistake.
Well, the mistake is on your part, all right?
I think I should have this grade.
Well, I'm sorry, what you think is wrong. You see, they were bothered. Now, don't miss this, folks, because this is so important. What bothered them was not lack of faith, but lack of success. A lot of people are bothered by that. They want to be successful. I got to be successful at what I do. And when they're not successful, they get bothered by that. But the Lord Jesus, boy, He turns it right around on them. He said, oh boy, your problem, you're worried about your lack of success, and I'm concerned about your faith. This whole chapter, chapter 17, is the question and answer about faith. The chapter begins with the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. All right? Only three of them get to go to that, the inner circle. And they're there. And of course, Peter speaks up. And God the Father has to speak from heaven and correct him. Hey, let's all get together. Let's build some temples here. We'll build one to Jesus, and we'll build one to Moses, and we'll build one to Elijah. And all of a sudden, a voice speaks from heaven and says, hear my son. What was Peter's problem? It was lack of faith. He was inventing something he thought would be successful. Right? Let's build some temples. We'll be successful doing that. But it was wrong. We go on in the story and we eventually end up here with the disciples, and we're going to see some things that follow in this because we're just going to introduce this tonight. But the disciples were bothered by their lack of success in casting out the demon. And so they come to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast him out? You said we'd have the power. Why couldn't we cast him out? It was almost an indignant, proud moment for the disciples to go and question the Lord why they couldn't do it. So the Lord speaks to them, and he says this. Notice, please. Verse 20. Because of your unbelief. Have you ever been, have you ever had one of those Nathan moments from the Bible? You remember how Nathan came to King David? And he said, King David, I want to tell you the story about this family that had this pet lamb. And some individuals came in, and they took away that pet lamb, and they slaughtered it, and they kept it for themselves. And boy, David just got angry and upset. And Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, thou art the man. What had he done? He had stolen somebody else's wife and murdered the man in the process. And Nathan comes and says, you're the problem. We don't like that. We don't like that at all. And this whole world spends all of its time trying to do away with that very aspect of Bible rebuke. We do away with it. We've done away with it in our whole penal system, where we don't want to keep people in jail for committing crimes. We want to correct their problems by giving them more education and not keeping them in jail, because that's not equity, you know. And so we've got all this nonsense out there, but the problem is we're not dealing with the trouble. We just want to make up answers that never solve the problem. And this is what Jesus confronts here with his disciples. There were nine of them that did not go up with him to the transfiguration. And they had met this family in the village nearby. And they had come to him and said, sirs, our son is afflicted with a demon. And they tried. I don't know. The Bible doesn't go. It does go in Mark where it has this parallel passage. It goes into a little bit of detail about the disciples there. But they tried like everything to cast out this demon. Now what they did, I don't know for sure. But they really tried. In today's society, if you really try hard, you're a success, right? If you really try hard, you get a trophy. If you really try hard, we give you bonus points. If you really try hard, we'll give you this, that, and the other because you really tried hard. If you tried hard on the test and you bombed it, we're going to give you try hard points. And we'll raise your grade up with those try hard points that you did not earn because you didn't study and you didn't prepare yourself and you didn't do the work that was necessary to do it the right way. We're going to give you try hard points. God doesn't do that. And I'm thankful for that tonight. How about you? He didn't give, you know, you disciples, I tell you what, bless your hearts, a nine of you here, and you tried really hard. Good job. The Lord bless you. You tried really hard. No, he says, because of your unbelief. Now we're going to get into this because this is so important. This is what keeps you from moving mountains. This is what keeps us from moving mountains. It's what keeps me from moving mountains. It's what keeps you from moving mountains. It's our lack of faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We try really hard and then we're bothered by why we don't have success. But the problem is, God's already told us what we're supposed to do. Trust Him. Rest in Him. Let's close with Psalm 37 very quickly, if you'll turn there. Passage of Scripture that so clearly shares with us this thought. Look at verse 1, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Are we going to trust God to believe that? What did he just say he was going to do? Are we going to trust God or are we going to fret? Let's go on. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Are we going to believe that? Or is that unbelievable? Right? Incredulous. I can't believe that. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest, verse 7, in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, if you fret, it only brings evil. Your fretting does. I want us to be encouraged tonight that it is possible for God's children to move mountains. But it's not because we've got the power. It's we must have faith in our Lord and not be so concerned about my success, but rather, am I exercising faith in the one who actually does the moving of the mountain? Because it's not me out there pushing it out of the way. It's the Lord Almighty who made the mountain. He put it there to start with. He wants to move it. He can do that. But I have to believe that He will. I've got to rest in Him. I've got to stop fretting. And so may the Lord help us to understand the glory of this passage of Scripture. And as He dealt with these nine disciples, And we're going to see this as we finish out the story here, what the Lord's commentary is to these men. He's encouraging them. Get the focus off yourself. Get the focus off of you and your success and get it on me. That's what Jesus is saying. Put your focus on Him and He will bring it to pass. Father in heaven, I thank You for this passage of Scripture. What a lesson it is for all of us. We're just like the disciples. There's not a one of us here tonight that's different than they are or were. I pray that You'd help us to realize that many times we focus on the wrong things. We're worried about why we couldn't do that because surely we'd be able to do that. No, not necessarily. Problem was their lack of faith, their unbelief. And I pray, Father, that You would work in our hearts. Dear Lord, You know there's some mountains that need to be moved. There's some mountains that are blocking the way of blessing. There's some mountains that stand in the way of your work being done. There's mountains that we've built. And Lord, we need to exercise faith in Thee and trust in Thee to overcome those obstacles that many times keep us from doing what needs to be done. I pray that You would work in our hearts in a very special way tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.